Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to The Early Line. This is hour number two on Sports Grid on a Monday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside as we hit the NBA headlines here. And we're starting to ramp up. Postseason's right around the corner. And there is a lot, and I mean a lot, still up for grabs. But, Donnie, a classic. And I hate to, I'm not trying to give you off I told you so. Wrong about countless things. But I was talking to people, Donnie, about this Nets game. And every person I talked to was like, Nets win by 20. It's Kyrie's first game back. And you know how it goes, man. The Nets are terrible against the number at home or on the second leg of a back-to-back. Kyrie's played one back-to-back this entire season and was awful in it. And they lose at home to the Hornets 119-110. And it's not just any regular loss because now they're in the ninth spot in the East. It is absolutely wild, Donnie, what is going on right now here for the Brooklyn Nets.
No, you're right. And this is the whole saga, right? Where we're talking about things that we didn't expect to happen in the NCAA tournament on the Oscars. But the one thing I thought was going to correct the world was once you had that mandate lifted in New York City, oh my goodness, we waited on this. KD, Kyrie, nobody's going to stop them. Maybe Ben Simmons makes an appearance, and away the Nets go as the favorite to win an NBA championship. But it just goes to show you other teams have really good players, just like the Charlotte Hornets. And if you don't play your best as a superstar like Kyrie Irving, 6-for-22, you have the ability to lose, and yes, even on your home court. But how many times have we seen that narrative, Kevin? You're so right. Like, oh, man. Circle the wagons. They just lifted the mandate on a Wednesday. Kyrie's going to play at home on a Sunday. The crowd's going to be action-packed and ready to go. And they lost. And the Charlotte Hornets were the better team here. Now, does this say something about, maybe they're not that true bred front runner here in the Eastern Conference with a chance to win an NBA champ? No, it doesn't. Because when those two guys get cooking themselves, we've seen them this week alone, Kevin, each drop 35 or more points at the same time in the same game. And we're able to walk away. So we'll see what happens with the Nets here. But that was a shocking loss that opens it up, saying maybe they're not as dominant as we thought they were. But still, Kevin, they're dominant.
And here's the thing. First of all, the under 44.5 has now become just a funny bet. Like they beat Miami in Miami convincingly. I'm like, all right, I tap. Now, boom, they lose to Charlotte. We're back in business. We're hoping. We're rooting. Here is the biggest thing to me, though, for the Brooklyn Nets right now. There's a number of things, okay? There's a scenario, Donnie, that is an absolute disaster for this team. And it's two things need to happen, and it's not likely. But if they land in the 9-10 game, it doesn't matter who they play, it would be Atlanta very likely. But they land in the 9-10, and if Toronto, Donnie, is playing in that 7-8 game and loses, and Brooklyn goes to Toronto for that final eighth spot, having already played the 9-10, that is a nightmare scenario, as they will have had to put, you know, a game on all of their legs versus Atlanta and then go to Toronto on the road without Kyrie Irving. I am not telling you that the Nets are going to miss the playoffs. It would be stunning. I would agree if you said what is more likely, they're the seventh seed or miss. I would agree it is more likely they are the seventh seed. But I continue to try to drive home the comparison between the Nets and the Lakers, and I know Brooklyn is 3 above .500 and the Lakers are 12 under that marker, but it's about the way they are priced. As our radio audience is with us here on a Monday morning, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside talking about the NBA action right here on the early line. The Lakers, Donnie, have had their odds fall down the board. As the book says, this team is hopeless, and that's fine. Brooklyn, Donnie, being priced as the Eastern Conference favorite out of the 9-hole is absolutely unacceptable.
No, it really is, and it's kind of baffling when you're saying, okay, usually like Gonzaga, the best team in college basketball, gets the one seed, and we're saying like the best team in basketball gets the 9th seed? And how about all those people out of, oh, man, the play-in is terrible at this point. Why are you going to add more teams? You don't think there's intrigue here where the Brooklyn Nets might not even make the playoffs? The same thing we're going to talk about a little bit with the Los Angeles Lakers. More teams in the playoffs, more teams in the playoff picture makes for better basketball. And we're going to see that. And you're right. It doesn't even, I can't even make sense of this year where you have a team that's literally hanging by a thread on actually making it into the final 8 per se here and still listed as a big time favorite as the Brooklyn Nets are. Do I think they'll be fine? Yes. Do I think if they get in the playing game, they'll be able to wait and work their way out of it? I actually do as well. But at the same time, the way that this is lining up in the Eastern Conference where the Brooklyn Nets are the 9th seed and the Atlanta Hawks are the 10th seed, it's just insanity. And again, I'm here for it. If you don't like more playoff teams with more games mattering towards the end of the season, I don't know what to tell you, Ken.
Yeah, listen, it's the play-in has been a success. That's the truth of it. It has been. Last year's play-in was excellent. In the Western Conference, you all remember the Lakers-Warriors game there. LeBron 35 and Steph's eye. You know you remember it. You know you can't wait. You know you can't wait. And I tell you this, the Lakers, at this point now, the conversation is much less will they make the playoff, but will they make the play-in? They're in the 10th spot, and LeBron was injured again, and I have no idea if Anthony Davis is still in the NBA. We'll talk about the Lakers disaster, the Suns, and the Celtics maybe on a collision course. All next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside, taking a look at some of the NBA headlines developing over the weekend. And we talk about the Brooklyn Nets landing in the 9. Well, right now the Lakers have landed themselves in the 10. A loss to the New Orleans Pelicans yesterday by a final score of 116-108. Now, you might look at that number and say, all right, New Orleans at home handled their business. The Lakers held a 23-point lead in this game. The Lakers now, if you look at their last two games that LeBron has played and remove their competitive nature against the Sixers, good for them, but LeBron didn't play. That's not the measuring stick. They played the Wizards as well, Donnie, and they lost that game despite holding a 16-point lead. And I think this is probably the best two examples that I can kind of put forward as to why I've struggled with this Lakers season to the degree that I have. While I know a lot of people have very easily hand-waved this group and said that they are just completely irrelevant to the larger landscape that is this sport when we're talking about who can make any kind of serious dent in a title run, is while I acknowledge that the Lakers are 12 under .500, it's patently obvious, and I understand that they don't have this ability right now to put the right results up on the board. I struggle, Donnie, with the fact, though, that they have lost 15 games this season where they held a double-digit lead in it. Like, Donnie, the Blazers are terrible, and they lose every game pillar to post. They just get blasted. It's who they are. They're a bad team. The Thunder, there are awful teams out there, right? The Lakers, Donnie, and their ability to get up by 15 or more on teams but still lose the game is what leaves me uncertain around this group. I don't know how to rationalize, Donnie, the fact that they were able to get a 20-point halftime lead versus New Orleans and still lose this game.
Yeah, this is the first time all season where I'm actually looking at the Los Angeles Lakers, because the joke has always been win 2 out of every 10 games and you will make it in because everybody behind you is tanking. Now they are, but you take a look here at the San Antonio Spurs, winners of, what, 4 out of 5 games now. And also keep in mind, this isn't a couple weeks ago, like it just seemed like there's always 20 games left in the season. Now you're looking at the Lakers with under 10 games left, but more importantly, it's not so much about the Lakers who seemingly win 2 out of every 10 games. It's can the Spurs actually come and finish the job here? Now sit only one game back for the Los Angeles Lakers. And I look at their schedule at Houston tonight, which is a winnable game for them. And then you take a look, they have back-to-back home games versus the Portland Trailblazers. So now that we're taking a look at under 10 games to go, you're actually factoring in which one of these teams can probably win 3 or 4 of their final 5 games. So if I look at the game against Houston tonight, winnable tonight for the Spurs. If I look at back-to-back games at home against Portland, winnable. And also, you still have to keep in mind, when you end the season, they have the Dallas Mavericks and the Golden State Warriors. What happens on that back-to-back Saturday-Sunday where you're looking from a Warriors perspective or a Mavericks perspective where they don't have to win this game? They're already slotted in their spot, and they don't play anybody. So usually we take a look at these type of options or opportunities in the NFL. Week 17, this team's going to sit it out. Now it's legitimate that you're going to watch all the way through. And the way I joke about the NBA, and it's for ratings, it always helps to have LeBron James and the Lakers in there. Does Adam Silver make a phone call to Golden State Dallas and says, you better play and play hard those final 2 games because we need LeBron James in the playoffs? But, you know, enough of the joking around. I never thought it would come to this. I just thought the Lakers would waltz into that, you know, 8-9 position per se and say, this is going to be easier, excuse me, like 9, 10, or 11, and say, we're going to get in here and play basketball because nobody else can really overtake us and everybody is basically tanking behind us. No longer the case here. The San Antonio Spurs have an advantageous schedule here in some spots, and they're going to put pressure on the Lakers to make the play-in. Wild stuff.
And again, I think why this is so bizarre, though, Donnie, is if you said, hey, Kevin and Don, I need you to give us your take on this game. It's 69-49 at the break. Don't worry about it. Lakers are going to clearly hold this down. I think the both of us are coming on here with, like, see, we told you so. The Lakers are gonna dominate the Pelicans in the play-in, and then we'll see who's left from the 7-8 game, and we'll go from there. Because that's what this game was. And I don't know if LeBron tweaking his ankle ruined the entire game. Post-game, he said it was horrible, and if the game wasn't as important as it was, he wouldn't have played. And that's a fair chuckle from you. As we know, LeBron absolutely loves to turn it up to 10 when he can. He, though, Donnie, did not look and was not playing at the same level in the second half of the game. And to be honest, Donnie, if you see the video, I mean, again, his ankle touches the hardwood. I don't really understand how tight you can tie a shoe, but evidently he continues to do that here. The Anthony Davis updates are not kind of coming really in the fashion that you need in order to get the guy back out there onto the court. I think you said it well. You know, again, maybe they will miss it. Maybe they will. They're a game up on San Antonio. And I mean, look, what if LeBron is going to miss more time? I mean, that's the truth of it, right? Is LeBron going to miss more games now, Donnie, with the ankle injury is a big question.
That's a huge question at this point because he's, and also, Kevin, the same thing we talk about, you know, you need superstars healthy in the playoffs. When you're the Lakers, usually you're coming down the backstretch of a season trying to fight for the 1 seed, the 4 seed, the 5, whatever it would be. But now it's not even the fact that I thought they would be so comfortable in the play and by like 4 or 5 games that over the last 2 weeks, they would have the advantage of going, hey, look, AD, come back when you're ready here. We're not going to rush you back. LeBron James, play every other night here, every other game, so we can stay fresh for those playing games. That's not the case right now. So now you're coming down the stretch needing LeBron James, maybe getting on the court sooner than later, trying to recover from an injury, and certainly expelling a lot of energy down the stretch when maybe you were hoping to steal a game or two with LeBron and say, take the final week off. Let's have you ready for these playing games. And you can't do that. And looking at the Lakers schedule coming up at Dallas, at Utah, how about this one? New Orleans, a must-see game here on April 1st, Friday night versus New Orleans at the Crypto.com Arena. And then you play Denver, Phoenix, and Golden State after that. This is going to be a wild run for the Lakers. And you're right. AD, where are you? LeBron James, are you even going to be healthy down the stretch? They're in some trouble now.
And let me just say, the Lakers roster, now it's not worked, But wasn't the idea, Donnie, that, they won't need LeBron to go to that level during the regular season? And obviously Russ has not worked out. And I know you can't control injury, but it's consecutive years that we're sat and watching a LeBron James team failing to miss the mark while Anthony Davis is not available. And that's a huge problem. And I'm telling you this now because, Donnie, he's out. By the way, he scored 39. He's going to win the scoring title in year 19. LeBron is still clearly a top five player in the NBA. LeBron is not going to stay. I'm telling you, trust me, he's not going to stay. And don't worry, we'll figure it out. It is what it is. Donnie, there's only so many seasons of that of this level of play that's going to be left for LeBron. And the Westbrook stuff can be sorted. The Vogel stuff can be figured out. The bench can be revamped. But if Robin is never there when the bat signal goes up, there's nothing you can do. Gotham will fall. And at some point, Donnie, either AD's going to have to be out there or LeBron won't be on this team or Anthony Davis won't be on this team. But what something's going to have to give.
Something is going to have to give. And you're right. When you're talking about two healthy players in AD and LeBron James, that's a great 1-2 punch. One of the best, if not the best, in the NBA when they are healthy. But that's the question now. Usually it's AD, who was nicknamed Street Clothes by Charles Barkley because of the amount of games he's missed, and usually it's LeBron James that you can trust. Well, LeBron James is getting older here. Your body does start to break down. LeBron James extended minutes down the stretch because AD, they're just fighting for their playoff lives. That's why you see some of these injuries. And as it plays out, now if you're the Lakers, do you sit them against Dallas and Utah and say the game of the year is versus New Orleans on Friday night? You have to pick your spots now with LeBron James here, unless LeBron says, hey, coach, give you 10 to 15 good minutes
right,
here
in the next upcoming game. We'll talk NFL headlines. I'll talk. Donnie's out. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. I want to hit some of the stories bubbling up around the NFL right now before we get you your NBA preview in the next segment. And one story developing, Donnie, is the New York Jets seemingly were not in a spot with the Tyreek Hill situation where they were like, you know what? Came up. Let's make a move. It turns out that the Jets really want to add a top flight wide receiver. You and I on Friday broke down some of those names that are available, and the Jets have been linked to those names. DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Deebo Samuel. If any of these guys are not able to reach extensions with their teams, and this gets to a point where those teams say, we can't pay this number, we need to make a move. It appears, Donnie, the Jets will be there waiting and ready to go out there and make a move.
It's a two-pronged attack here because, number one, the New York Jets want to add a wide receiver to their good young franchise guy, or a guy they think is capable of being a franchise guy. That's a sign of a healthy organization saying, hey, we drafted you early. We trust you. We're going to give you all the weapons for you to succeed. Now, some other organizations out there probably should take heed and say, wow, a young quarterback here that you're trying to improve your team by surrounding him with weapons? What a novel idea. But also keep in mind, the shockwaves that were sent out for the last two contracts, one by Davante Adams going from Green Bay down to Las Vegas. And then you take a look at Tyreek Hill going from the Kansas City Chiefs down to the Miami Dolphins. The reason I bring those two up is because other wide receivers are watching, Kevin. They're saying to themselves, like, now hold on here. The Jets were just ready to stroke a check for as big, if not maybe even bigger, to Tyreek Hill. But it turns out he said he wanted to go to Miami, so maybe that was the ice-breaking difference there. But now you see Deebo Samuel, DK Metcalf, and AJ Brown. Let's just take those three guys. They're sitting back going, now hold on. The Jets were willing to make a move and pay this guy that much money. They got money, and they want to spend it wide receiver. call up my agent right now. Yo, start talking to the Jets, man. Work something out because it looks like they're willing to pay top dollar, and I don't have that right now, or my hometown team wants me to give them a discount. That's what the shockwaves throughout the industry are, and I would not be surprised if the Jets are filling up the mailboxes of these type of players saying, hey, man, we got capital. We'll trade for you, and we'll pay you like the best. That's eye-opening.
Yeah, look, every agent right now is thanking the New York Jets for putting their, you know, talents in better positions here to get deals. It reminds me a little bit, one of those crazy NBA offseasons, everyone was getting paid, and the Brooklyn Nets, who knew they were tanking and ready to be terrible, kept offering just these horrendous contracts to guys that, but you were able to, the other team was able to match them, and these teams kept matching them, and the Nets like, pfft. And the other teams were paying these awful deals because Brooklyn, it didn't matter them. And that's kind of the Jets right now. Is like, we don't care. What's the worst case scenario? We end up with DK Metcalf. You're going to pay through the nose, though, if you want to keep Deebo Samuel or these guys here. The thing for me, though, is not just the Jets, Donnie, but it's as we get closer to the NFL draft as well, what kind of an impact might this have on wide receivers going into the draft here, right? And how much of this needs to be sorted on draft night? There's a lot of available markets. We'll talk about some of them, for the wide receivers. And Donnie, one of them is the total number of wideouts to be selected in the first round, which is 5.5. For a while, though, the plus money was on the over. Well, that's now minus 158, a quite strong 6. But what happens, Donnie, if the Philadelphia Eagles trade for a DK Metcalf or a New York Jets trade for an AJ Brown? That starts to cut into the number of players that will be going within the top 32.
Yeah, I did a listen up last week, Kevin, saying that maybe the wide receiver position is the new quarterback, where you have to win now on a rookie contract because these contracts are getting so out of whack after that third or fourth year where these guys are extension eligible that you're starting to look to the draft. And maybe the Minnesota Vikings were way ahead of their time, Kevin, by saying, hey, how could you guys just let Stephon Diggs get out of town? Then they go out and get Justin Jefferson, who may be as good, if not even better than Stephon Diggs. And now you're looking at Minnesota going, do we have to draft another wide receiver because we don't want to pay him, I don't know, $75 million guaranteed when it's his time to actually come up? It's an interesting one to watch because the reason I bring this up also, let's just take a look at some of the big three that are out there that we think are extension eligible or could be on the move. Deebo, DK, and AJ Brown, right? If you are those organizations, would you be shocked right now if even though you're not going to trade them, each one of those teams drafts a wide receiver either high in the first round, midway through the first round, or early in the second round, because you know eventually you're going to have a stalemate when DK says, I want $150 million. Deebo Samuel goes, I want $175 million, that maybe you would get draft capital and just continue to replenish. So some of these teams that don't really technically need wide receivers, Kevin, are now drafting wide receivers out of necessity because those wide receivers are going to be A, unhappy, B, want to leave, or C, you're going to have to pay them so much money, you're going to have to restructure your own salary cap at this time. This is an interesting market we're diving into heading into the NFL draft because I can see teams that don't technically need wide receivers drafting wide receivers because of what might happen over the next few months.
Yeah, it's a valuable commodity. And at the end of the day, right, and all that added context that Donnie just pieced in makes this so important, but you need good wide receivers if you're going to make it to the next level. The reigning Super Bowl MVP is a wide receiver in Cooper Kupp. Another NFL draft story to keep your eye on is the number one overall pick. Aiden Hutchinson had moved up to minus 410. Seemingly, this was deal done. And I think a lot of this was because the Jags made it very clear that they were drafting edge. You know, bringing back Cam Robinson and all of the other moves that they made, they weren't going to be taking, you know, an Evan Neal or one of the top tackles in the class. And if it was going to be edge, well, it had to be Aiden Hutchinson, who is seemingly separated away from Kayvon Thibodeau. Well, all of a sudden, Donnie, it seems like there's a new name on the list. Travon Walker has somehow springboarded up to the second choice to be the number one overall pick at plus 350. The Aiden Hutchinson price has come back to minus 250. You'll notice Hutchinson now, because he won't go further down the board than two. The Detroit Lions are actively seeing if they can get up to one, actually, to land Aiden Hutchinson. Hutchinson is now a co-favorite with Travon Walker to be the number two pick here, Donnie. Maybe the Jags aren't sure if Aiden Hutchinson's their guy at one.
Yeah, it's a smokescreen season right now, right? And the reason I bring that up is now you're seeing another pass rusher climb up on the board. And all it takes for it is a little bit of back talk here from the Jaguars going, hey, not so fast here on Aiden Hutchinson at this point. We're thinking about Travon Walker as well, because they're going to get the tea leaves from around the NFL, because this is one of those situations where they can go, we like three people right here. So you're telling me I can steal another first-round pick and slide down a spot or two, whether the two spot, the three spot, the four spot. Hey, come up here if you want your guy, and we're going to put out the feelers that we're interested in. Hutchinson, Walker, even heck, we even might go for another offensive tackle in Evan Neal. I love this subterfuge that you're giving out, because the one thing that the Jacksonville Jaguars can do very easily, if Hutchinson is their guy, hey, he's our number one pick, we're not going to listen to any phone calls. That's a sign of a bad organization. A good organization, no matter what happens here, you're answering phone calls right up till draft night. Because if you could say to yourself, we don't have a big difference here between Hutchinson, Walker, Neal, or whoever, or Kayvon Thibodeau, let's just say, as three of those guys, defensive linemen, we might be able to slide back to the five spot, pick up another first-round pick, and get the guy that we technically want, or maybe isn't far off of Hutchinson or Walker at this time. It's a good move by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And these numbers changing, Kevin, that means the Jacksonville Jaguars are actually saying behind the scenes, this isn't a foregone conclusion that we're just drafting Aiden Hutchinson here. So this is going to be fun to watch over the next month until the draft takes place.
I think, though, and it's very interesting, because if, Donnie, you say, listen, man, we are a bad team, adding draft capital is key. And I know you might think, going from 2-1 can't cost a lot. You're going up to the number one slot. Even if that costs them, Donnie, the Lions' first pick in the second round, that's a top 35 pick there. That is valuable for a team like the Jags. But it is risky. See, if Jacksonville was going to move back and take Kyle Hamilton, the safety out of Notre Dame, it is what it is. He's supposed to be a star. But more importantly, they're on different ends of the spectrum. It could be a little tricky for me, Donnie, if Jacksonville is going to move back one spot and take a player at the same position. Boy, you need to be right, Donnie, because you go back one, add yourself the 34th pick in the draft, and you take Travon Walker, and the Lions come up and take Aiden Hutchinson, and Hutchinson goes out there and wins Defensive Rookie of the Year with double-digit sacks, and nobody can remember which team Travon Walker is on. That's not good for Jacksonville, man.
No, it's certainly not. But you also have to still trust in your draft board of who you think is the best player, and not just taking a look at like Mel Kiper's list here on like, you know, the day of the draft, going, oh, maybe we should take this guy, or this doesn't match up. So you do have to have some faith in your, you know, standing per se from your scouts and what they're telling you on feedback. But honestly, if you do have, let's just say, Hutchinson 1, Walker 2, and then Thibodeau 3 on your board, and you say, we don't have that big of a grade difference between these three, and we can get one of the other guys here and cash in with another first-round draft pick, you would be doing your due diligence and the right by your organization with actually doing that. But having said that, sometimes if you have your guy, don't worry about it. If your guy is Aiden Hutchinson, don't get like, we could pick up an extra second-round pick or an extra first-round pick. Why do that? Because if you're going to get like a Nick or a Joey Bosa there, and that is your slam-dunk pick, you'd be foolish to say, well, I think the other guy is just as good. No, if he's your guy, Aiden Hutchinson, draft him number one overall and live with it, and probably live with the spoils of the riches that he's probably going to give you from sacks.
Well, look, you know what? And it's a great breakdown, because, look, you can view these guys on similar levels, but they separate. Myles Garrett, Donnie, and Solomon Thomas. Now, Myles, you know, was can't miss and everything like that, but people love Solomon Thomas. Imagine saying, you know what? You can have Myles. We'll take the extra draft capital. It gets a little difficult, man. Dang. We'll continue to keep our eyes on the NFL draft, no doubt. NBA preview coming on up for you right here on Sports Grid.
Sports SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on Sports Grid. Let's move over to, you know what? Let me quickly hit the leftover NFL story I wanted to get to, just because this is right up Donnie's alley. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Donnie, have made it very clear that they are going to draft a quarterback. Now, what is uncertain is in which round. You know, second, third, fourth. Listen, we're not sure, you know, how important you are to this team. Or is this team, Donnie, going to potentially take a Malik Willis, a Kenny Pickett, Corral, Ritter, Howell, the list goes on and on. Considering the Mitch Trubisky addition, Donnie, do you think a first-round quarterback is still in play for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
100%. And if they're smart, a first-round quarterback should be in play for them. And it's not to say, Kevin, this is a legendary quarterback class. But the whole point of the Pittsburgh Steelers was saying, I think we have a ready-made playoff-caliber team. The only thing we're missing is a quarterback. Oh, yeah, let's go get Mitchell Trubisky. And I said to myself, it's like the worst. This is like a disaster. I'd rather have Mason Rudolph out there or Dwayne Haskins fighting for the starting job. Why? Because if it doesn't work out, you're going to get a high draft pick, so you can take a quarterback. But this is what makes the Pittsburgh Steelers the Pittsburgh Steelers. Very shrewd and very crafty with drafting. Not usually trading a lot of draft capital, not moving up or down. We are going to sit in this spot that we're in, and we're going to take the best football player available. And if that turns out to be Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett, if they slip, that's who they should take. Because for me and my money, getting Mitchell Trubisky as your quarterback is a horrible franchise decision. It doesn't make you into a dominant playoff chance team. It doesn't make you into a team that's going to vie for a Super Bowl. Heck, he might win enough games here to keep you on that proverbial treadmill where you can't go up in the top 10 and get a quarterback because you're winning too many games to not be that high and just winning enough to not make the playoffs. You can't do that here. So if the Pittsburgh Steelers go out in this draft, Kevin, and take a quarterback, I would love that because at least I know the future has a chance to have a franchise guy. When Mitchell Trubisky, he's not your franchise guy, Pittsburgh.
But the problem then is why did they sign Trubisky? Has it been this long since they drafted a quarterback in the first round that they forgot that they didn't need to sign a guy if they then wanted to draft one in the first round, Donnie? Like, do they think that they can trade him, perhaps, to the Giants? Like that's the disconnect for me, right? Remove Trubisky, and you and I are talking about not if, but when will the Steelers move up to take quarterback? Because they so clearly will be. But doing this all just doesn't make any sense. You don't bring in Trubisky and pump up Mason Rudolph to then have those two enter a three-man competition with a kid that you take at 20 or 15 or trade up to 10, whatever it might be. It doesn't make any sense. It feels as if they're worried they won't be able to draft a guy they like, so they have Trubisky as a backup plan. But if that really played out, and by the way, you can, for the most part, always go and get your guy. If that were to play out, just let Mason Rudolph be the backup plan. That's why I struggle, Donnie, with what the Steelers' intentions really are.
Yeah, what are their intentions is right. Because the joke of it was when they came out of their postseason meetings, the first day, Dwayne Haskins go, man, just had a meeting with Coach Tomlin, said I'm going to vie for the starting position. The next day, Mason Rudolph said the same thing. Then a week and a half later, basically, or 2 weeks later, actually, it's a little bit longer than with the playoffs, but 2 weeks into the post, the extra offseason, you got Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah. So now you got three quarterbacks, and none of them are deserving to start. So if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you do go out and do the right thing, get yourself a quarterback in the draft if they do fall, what is does this say about Mitchell Trubisky, Dwayne Haskins, and Mason Rudolph? You're not going to keep all four of those guys here. And first off, if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers and you get Mitchell Trubisky, trust me, by week four or five, if it's Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis sitting over there with a clipboard and Mitchell Trubisky is throwing worm burners out there left and right and the Steelers are struggling, now you don't have any of those three guys that you signed and you're only looking to a rookie quarterback. So nothing makes sense for me for the Pittsburgh Steelers from a quarterback position. This was one of the teams, Kevin, after the season ended for them, I said, wham. I am going to circle the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I want to get back to them. If they find themselves a real quarterback, a good veteran quarterback, this team is going to be a fun team to bet and watch. And they signed Mitchell Trubisky, and I wiped them right off the board for me.
Yeah, just really odd. Again, we'll follow all of this closely, no doubt. We move over to the NBA board tonight. Good slate of games here. But it does feel like a lot of games might be impacted by who's in and who's out. And one would be the Raptors and the Celtics. Boston, we talk about it, so hot right now. They've continued to climb. They have the top spot in the Eastern Conference. Perhaps not for long, though, Donnie. I don't know if you have your projected starting lineup, but the Raptors laying four to Boston, while I acknowledge the Celts are on the second leg of a back-to-back, tells me that there might be some key Celtics players not being available tonight versus Toronto.
Yeah, taking a look here, estimated lineup tonight, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Grant Williams, and Daniel Tice. And then if we take a look at Toronto tonight, Van Vliet, Ananobi, Barnes, Siakam, and Burt. So it looks like, as long as you look at the Celtics, you're worried about what? Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart. Looks like they're anticipated to be in. Now, also, when you talk about like back-to-back games and how well the Celtics are playing, is this one of those where you just like momentum? Like we're going to play these guys as much as we can until the wheels fall off because of how dominant they are right now. And also, do you have the ability to take games off and rest certain guys when no longer Kevin's like, okay, we're playoff seeding third, fourth, or fifth seed. Legitimate chance that the Celtics can be the number one overall seed in the East? If I'm the Celtics front office or head coach or the players, coach, let me spin out here. Let's get this one seed. We are red hot. Let us go. And I agree with that.
Yeah, the it's odd, though, and maybe they think they can do it shorthanded. The postgame presser, Donnie, Tatum implied that he probably won't be playing in this game. And again, I think the line still reads that way. Here's how I look at it, though. If you're looking to bet early, I think the total at 215 you can still grab now. If all of these guys are in, what a coup, right? Boston is scoring 120 every game, five straight overs, and in those games they have scored 126, 124, 132, 125, 134. Unbelievable. They're 10-3 to the over when they play without rest this season. So I think going to Toronto, this game can be higher scoring than that 215 number indicates. And again, even if it's shorthanded and you're missing key guys, while the offense can slip, the defensive side of the ball can as well. So it's not a bad look to the over in that game. The Bulls, Donnie, go to the Knicks tonight. The Knicks on the second leg of a back-to-back as well. They played Detroit yesterday, won that game, are now a four-point dog at home versus Chicago. Must win is very strong, but again, as the Bulls look to make sure they're not a play-in team, this is one you certainly want to have versus the Knicks who enter playing without rest.
Yeah, you would have liked to have it better if it was in Chicago, but it's not. But you're a better team than the New York Knicks, and you're going to be a little bit rested, and you do know the stakes of the game. New York Knicks, for all intents and purposes, probably aren't going to run the table, make a shot here, a chance at getting into a play-in market. It's just not going to be their year. But if you take a look at the Chicago Bulls and must-win game, isn't it crazy, finally, Kevin, in the NBA season that we talk about, it's way too long, and none of these games actually matter. They do. When you get under 10 games here, these teams are jockeying for position, and also you're not talking about the 2-seed, the 3-seed, the 4-seed. You're talking about being in a play-in game, or you're talking about actually starting the playoffs in the actual playoff field. It's a big game for the Bulls. I expect them to win this game tonight and would be shocked if they lost, because if you're looking for their schedule moving forward, which I don't have in front of me, this is one of those games, if you're a Bulls fan, front office, or player, you expect to win this game and you better win it.
Yeah, look, the schedule picks up a bit here. This is one of the games that they're definitively favored in, and I know 4.5 isn't super strong, but you'll see, again, the schedule for Chicago is going to pick up. I will say the Knicks, it's an interesting, you know, again, we talk about kind of trends and you can apply them. You know, it's always to each his own. They are 3-9 against the spread as a home underdog. but they are 7-3 against the spread when they play without rest. It's almost as if when they're playing without rest, they can kind of go back to last year's version where they were basically just consistently putting their stars out there 40 minutes a game up against it. It's like maybe they find something in that here. Obviously, MSG has not been as kind to them as it was last season. It's an interesting group to follow. I want to bring up another game that, again, is not it's the worst game on the board. I just can't help myself. The Portland Trail Blazers play the Houston Rockets consecutive nights at home. The Rockets, and they caught points both nights and lost both games by double digits, by 19 and then by 17. And now just to show how bad this is, and by the way, the Thunder have, as they have now for the second year in a row, ramped the tank up to another level. It's incredible that SGA can never be healthy in March, right? It just so happens that his ankles fall apart when the calendar flips the page. It's total happenstance, and Thunder fans are upset at me that I'm calling them out for this. The Thunder, Donnie, are a road favorite in Portland. Road favorite. That is just unimaginable to me that this is the state of the Portland Trailblazers right now.
I'm going to read you. There are 9 guys available tonight. And if you're an NBA guy, you understand that. Some of these names I might mess up a little bit. But for the average viewer, this is an NBA team. And also, as Kevin brought up, is an NBA team going on the road and favored? Theo Maledon, Trey Mann, and you see that? Aaron Wiggins, Alexei Pokuševski, Isaiah Roby, Vit Krejci, Lindy Waters, Olivier Saar, and Jeremiah Robinson Earl. That team is favored on the road against another NBA team tonight. That is incredible stuff, Kevin.
Oklahoma City has been a favorite twice this season, and they're now laying points on the road. Give me the Thunder. By the way, here's the thing with the Thunder, though. It's really, I don't know how this team is so bad and covers at the rate that they do. 45-25-4 against the number, Donnie. Like, they are better against the number than the Suns. Like, do you know how hard the Suns win every game they play? Every game. The Thunder lose every game. And it's always the Thunder plus the points. It's incredible to me. It really is. I'll sneak this in here, Donnie. The Warriors are terrible. I mean, they are awful. I mean, if Steph does not come back, they're going to get eliminated in the first round. They stink.
They do stink.
Nothing.
And I was waiting for the pause.
Right.
I was waiting for. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was shocked by that because you're talking about Steph, the guy who's supposed to win the MVP, and then you throw it over just in the middle of a set. I thought it was one of those pregnant pauses here, and then you flip it over to tell me that the Memphis Grizzlies might be better without Ja Morant at this point here and how they can climb. Well, but you're right. Man. No Ja Morant in a basketball game. Memphis is favored by double digits over the Warriors. That tells you enough here. No pregnant pause needed.
No, and listen, I mean, the Warriors are not going to. I actually like this from the Warriors, though. They're like, oh, no Ja Morant for you? Watch this. We're going to send nobody out there. Like, it'll be Jordan Poole, Gary Payton the second, and that's about it. The next segment, listen up. Donnie's paying attention for that one. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day right here for the early line, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside here with Kevin Walsh, as always, carrying you through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after. Yes, the Oscars are on our mind. And yes, my co-host just left me hanging by throwing something back to me when he should have carried the segment. But guys, I'll carry you through this segment. Won't leave you hanging. Why? Because you need to listen up. All right, Will Smith slapping somebody at the Oscars last night. Yes, that was must-see TV, but DRS was already fast asleep preparing for the early line. And why? Because the perfect Final Four needs our attention for this entire week here. You're talking about Blue Bloods here. Nobody crashing the dance here. No teams from outside these Power Five conferences. Well, man, granted, I would have loved to have seen St. Peter's in the Final Four. We would have all cheered them on. But if you are left here with the prognosis that you're going to get Duke and UNC at an 8:49 tip time Saturday night, and before that, get Villanova and Kansas, where do you sign me up each and every time? We all love college basketball. We all love when the big boys are still involved in it. And you are going to get exactly that on Saturday night. I mean, heck, Villanova coming into this tournament with Jay Wright, losing one of their star players in their last game, a whole week to prepare and get ready. Kansas, Blue Blood, number one. And thank goodness we actually got a number one seed here that was able to make it through the region. That's going to be a great game. But I think we can all agree the nightcap on Saturday night between Duke and UNC is going to go down in history. And we deserve this. We deserve a 79-78 game, whether or not UNC bitter rivalry ends Coach K's last game at Cameron Indoor with a loss and ends his career in the Final Four with another loss. I can't wait to let it play out on Saturday night. We have all week to build this up right here on the Sports Grid Network. But before we do that, you're going to get an extra hour here of DRS coming up next year when I join Ben Stevens and the morning after right here on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. I can't get enough of it. Let's talk some basketball.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week, we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.